All right, I would ask you to turn in your copy of God's Word to the Epistle of Philippians. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. That's the section we'll be thinking about this evening and meditating on. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This is the inspired Word of God. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray and ask God for his blessing. Lord, anyone could get your word and open its pages and read this passage. But without your spirit, what would they read? Lord, it is you who testify to the truth of your word. We would ask that you would give us clarity. We would ask that you would help us to see. We would ask that you would help us to be Bereans, to look at your word and see if it is so. Lord, help us, teach us, renew our minds. We'd ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Do you love the church? Not conceptually, not theoretically. I'm asking, do you love her? Do you love God's people? Are you loving them? Do you ever ask yourself that? And what should that love look like anyways? Let me ask you this. Are you in need of love? Not in general. Are you hurting? Are you in need of help? Are you lonely? Do you need love? Well, we're going to talk about the love as we begin our journey tonight through the book of Philippians. And we're going to lay the foundation. We'll talk about the historic context of the book, where it was, the dates, and so forth. But we're also going to move into the body of the letter tonight. And as we do, you'll see that Paul wants to talk about love. He's so grateful for the Philippians. And he wants them to know how much he loves them as well. Look at verse 8. He says, "How I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus." You see, Paul wants to encourage the Philippians. He highlights the mutual love between the Philippians and himself. And he encourages them, of course, to abound more and more in love. So as we meditate on this passage, we're going to ask ourselves where we see the mutual love between the Philippians and Paul. And the imperative you're going to hear from me, the charge you're going to hear from me, the exhortation, is abound in love for one another. Abound in love for one another. So let's begin with our first heading, which is love, by partnering with others. Love by partnering with others. Around AD 50, Paul went on his second missionary journey along with Silas and Timothy. And the Lord used this team to plant the church there in Philippi. And now, it's about 12 years later, and Paul pins this letter to the Philippian church while in Rome, facing a capital charge. The Philippian church began with an encounter between a few people by a riverside. And from there, God had established this church and he had provided for it. The Lord loves his church, and he cared for the Philippian church for a dozen years at this point. He grew its numbers, strengthened it. And Paul, he's reflecting on all of this. He's marveling at the glorious work God has done, even in the midst of his own personal suffering. His heart is full of gratitude. And Paul wants to encourage the Philippians. So he tells them how much of a blessing that they have been to him all of these years. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You see, Paul wants the Philippians to know that every time he prays and they come up in his mind, his heart's full of joy. And so he gives thanks to God for them. He remembers how it all started. Whenever Paul would go on these missionary journeys, he would go into a new city and he would look for a synagogue and he would start his witnessing there. But Philippi was a small city compared to other cities around. And they didn't have a synagogue. And so what they did is they went where people commonly gathered to pray on the Sabbath day when there wasn't a synagogue in town. They went just outside the walls of Philippi to the river. So on the Sabbath, Paul and Silas went to this riverside, and there, you might remember, they met Lydia, a seller of purple fabric. And the scripture says that the Lord opened her heart so that she embraced the gospel. And it says that Lydia and her whole household were baptized. You might remember that after that, Paul and Silas go to the open market to witness. And while they're there, they encounter a girl who is demon-possessed. And she's following them around everywhere. She was a fortune-telling, money-making slave girl, and her owner was not happy about her exorcism. And you might remember that that led to Paul and Silas being captured by the crowd and brought before the magistrate, where they were beaten and then thrown into prison. But the excitement wasn't over there. There was a great earthquake, right? And Paul and Silas are ultimately released. And the jailer was converted. And it says that the jailer and his whole household were also baptized. And with these two households, a new church was planted. God moved powerfully in Philippi. But it wasn't the exciting story about how everything started that fostered this mutual love between Paul and the Philippians. Look at verse 3 again. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You see, it was their partnership with him that had fostered that love between them. The word partnership is a Greek word, koinonia. You probably know that word. That is the word for fellowship. Paul feels a warm fellowship in the gospel with the Philippians. Human friendship is a wonderful thing. But there is a supernatural union that exceeds all earthly fellowship between believers. Christians have fellowship that is rooted in the gospel. There's a three-way supernatural bond between Paul and the Philippians and Jesus. The same is true with all of us. 1 John 1:3 says, "Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And this fellowship produces love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And love produces action. Love produces action. Paul's love for the Philippians rose out of a fellowship of grace that was supercharged by their action. Consider verse 7. Paul says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." You see, the Philippians partnered with Paul. They loved him. They came alongside of him. They were partakers with him. They walked alongside of him through the good and through the bad. Whether he was in the midst of planting churches or whether he was suffering in a prison cell. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." God calls us, each one of us, to various tasks throughout the seasons of our life. Congregation, be mindful of one another. Love one another. Partner with one another. Come alongside each other. Bear one another's burdens. We see that the Philippians loved Paul by partnering with him. But we see that Paul loved the Philippians by praying for them. And that is our second heading, love by praying for others. Love by praying for others. Paul had been praying for this church from the beginning. It was so small. It was so fragile in the beginning. And Paul wasn't able to stay with them locally. So he prayed fervently. He poured his heart out. How could they possibly survive? It was against all odds. How could they make it? The answer is the love of Christ. Jesus loves the church. He loves you. He is for you. And one of the ways he cares for the church is by giving it the structure, by giving the institution structure. Look at verse 1. The letter begins, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and deacons." We see that God answered Paul's prayers by growing the number of this body, by firmly rooting them for all these years, and by raising up leadership from among them. He gave them elders and deacons to lead and care for the church. And all these blessings, all these answered prayers, God not only established the Philippians, but he also raised them up to be Paul's ministry partners. This leads Paul to worship. He lifts up his heart in praise and thanksgiving that we see in verses 3 and 4. God answers prayer. Well, Paul wants to continue to encourage the Philippians. So in verse 9, he says, "And it is my prayer that you love, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, Paul has already acknowledged how much the Philippians have loved them by their ongoing partnership. But he says that his prayer is that their love would continue to grow more and more. He wants it to continue to increase. He wants them to be bursting forth in love, to be overflowing with love. But he wants their love to have direction, doesn't he? He says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." Their love is to be grounded in knowledge and discernment. It is to be shaped and sculpted and directed by Scripture. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." How are you supposed to love God? How are you supposed to love the people that God put in your life? Well, God isn't keeping that a secret from you. His word, the Bible, is a treasure trove of knowledge and of wisdom. When Jesus was asked about this very thing, he pointed to the commandments. He said, "Do you want to know how to love God and how to love neighbor? Look at the first four commandments. It tells you how to love God. Look at the last six. It tells you how to love your neighbor." And the rest of Scripture takes these Ten Commandments and applies it to specific areas. Scripture says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Look how verse 9 flows into verses 10 and 11. Paul says, "It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So Paul prays that the Philippians will abound in love with knowledge and discernment so that they will approve what is excellent, they will be pure and blameless, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Paul prays for their growth in grace. He wants the Philippians to be overflowing with love for Jesus and their neighbors. But he wants them to know the word of God so that they will be equipped, so that they'll be able to navigate the winding roads of life, so that the walk in holiness and purity. It is his prayer that they will bear the fruit of the Spirit in abundance. And that is Christ's prayer for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, we see Paul's love for the Philippians in the way he prays for them, in the things that he prays about for them. Love one another. Pray for one another. Use Paul's prayer as a model to pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray that their love would abound more and more, and that they would know the word of God and apply it to every aspect of their life. Pray that they would walk in holiness, and that they would love Jesus and want to be like him. pray that they would bear the fruit of the Spirit in abundance. Well, as you look at the opening of this letter, you can see how much Paul loves the Philippian by the content of his prayers. And you can also see it in the way he points them again and again to Jesus. That's what we'll look at in our third heading, love by pointing others to Jesus. Love by pointing others to Jesus. Maybe the first thing we need to do is clarify that saying. What does it mean to point someone to Jesus? What do we mean by that saying? So we have a lot of sayings around here, I think. I'm saying we need to remind people of who Christ is, what his character is, what he's promised, what he's said. We need to continually be pointing them, if we want to love them, to Jesus, and quite frankly, preaching to ourselves and pointing ourselves to him. Jesus is God. He has the power to do all his holy will. He can move mountains. He can't lie. He can't fail. He can't err. He is truth. Jesus is love. He is faithfulness, and forgiveness is found only in him. Point people to Jesus. It's the loving thing to do. And we see Paul's love for the Philippians by pointing them to Jesus. Consider verse 6. Paul says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying? He's saying Jesus is going to finish what he started. Jesus called you to himself. He promised that if you repented and believed, you would be forgiven. He promised that no one would be able to snatch you out of his hand. No one. And do you hear Paul's confidence? He says, I am sure of this. Why is he so sure? How can you be so sure, Paul? Because Jesus is sure. Jesus is sure. And he has promised us. Again, Jesus is truth. He is faithful. He cannot fail. Paul says, Jesus is going to bring it to completion. When? Well, at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul speaks of the day of Christ here and also at the end of verse 10, doesn't he? What's Paul referring to? What does he mean, the day of Christ? Well, the day of the Lord, is a phrase used throughout Scripture. It's a reference to a day or to a time when God is going to come in judgment. And so that term is used for various days when God is coming in judgment, and it's used for that day, that final day. Scripture promises that Jesus is going to return as king to judge all the earth. He's going to return in strength and glory, and then all wrongs will be made right. There is going to be a general resurrection of the dead, and Jesus will then bring believers to completion by resurrecting their bodies. That body that you are sitting in now will be resurrected, but it won't look the same and it won't function just the same. It is going to be raised in glory. And brothers and sisters, I do not have the words. I couldn't compound enough words to tell you how much glory it will be. But you are going to be raised in glory. on that day. You will be completely sanctified. You will be holy. You will be so confirmed. You will be unable to sin again. And you'll live in the presence of Christ forever. But Paul doesn't stop there. Look at verse 8. He points the Philippians to Jesus again. He says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Paul says, "I love you so much. I love you so much. I can feel it. It burns in me. I love you so much. I long for you." With what? With the affection of Christ Jesus. Remember who Paul was before he became a Christian. Don't forget about that. He was a persecutor of the church. He hated you. He wanted you dead. He worked at persecuting the church. He was full of anger and hatred and murder. He wanted you crushed. He wanted you scattered, never to be again. But Jesus reached down and he touched his heart. He stopped Paul in his tracks. Jesus began a good work in Paul. Paul's mind was enlightened. He thought he understood spiritual things before, but now the Word of God, it came alive. And the Holy Spirit began to teach him. And he saw his self-righteousness. He could see his sin in high resolution. There was almost too much clarity. And this made Paul finally see the beauty of the gospel. He understood that Jesus died to pay the penalty of sin and bring reconciliation between God and man, to bring reconciliation between himself and God. Jesus offers full pardon, forgiveness of sin. He removes shame. Jesus empowered Paul to embrace the gospel, turn from his sin, and to begin to live a holy life. Jesus was transforming Paul, transforming him so much. He was no longer hating the church, but he was in love with the church. This love, this yearning Paul now feels, this love we see saturating this passage. This is a supernatural love. Don't miss it. It's not coming from any of these people. That's not its origin. This is the love of Christ for his church being poured out into Paul, to the Philippians, being poured into the Philippians and to Paul. Its origin is Christ. Christ loves the church. And don't let that be out there. He loves you. That's what we see here. The affection of Christ. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to see that. He wants you to embrace that. How do I know? How do I know that Jesus is the origin of the love between Paul and the Philippians? Because of verse 11. Paul says his prayer is that the Philippians would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. What is the fruit of the Spirit of Christ? It is love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul points us to Jesus. And he says, the fruit comes from him. That's where you're going to find strength. Jesus is the power provider. Well, Paul, he loves the Philippians by pointing them to Jesus. He reminds them that Jesus is the power provider and that he is going to fulfill every one of his promises. You see, pointing others to Jesus is the loving thing to do. Because the truth of the matter is, we are weak people, are we not? Each one of us. We're fragile. We're easily shaken. We are broken. I mean, we come and we try to act as if we've got it all together. It's what we've learned to do. We've got to do that. If we show our weaknesses, people might use it against us. They might hurt us with it. And so we put up walls and we act like everything's okay and we're totally confident and we know everything. We don't need to be taught. We know it. We put up this face. But the truth is, we get overwhelmed, overworked. We're lonely. We get scared. We get anxious. We're sad, depressed. Some of us get angry. Some of us are desperate. The truth is, sometimes we don't even know if we're going to make it. Oh, how we desperately need the love of others. Congregation, love one another by coming alongside of one another and partnering with each other. Bear one another's burdens. Love others by praying for them. Be diligent to intercede for your brothers and sisters. Love others by pointing them to Jesus. Point them to his word. Point them to his promises. Point them to his character. Point them to the source of power and change. Abound in love for one another. That's what we see in the first 11 verses of Philippians. Paul wants to encourage the Philippian church. He highlights how much of a blessing they've been to him, how much their love has meant to him. And Paul encourages them by vividly expressing how much he loves them in return, while pointing to Jesus, who is love itself. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you know how we try to fake it. You know how overwhelmed we get. You know how some of us are feeling so tired. We're overworked, Lord. Sometimes we don't know how much longer we can take this. Many of us are anxious. The voices, Lord, we keep hearing these crazy things in our minds. Lord, some of us are lonely and depressed and desperate. Oh Lord, we would ask that you would help us to love one another. We would ask that you would help us to know one another. Beside just the small talk, Lord, would you make us courageous, that we might tell one another what's going on in our lives. And Lord, would you help us to bear one another's burdens? You said that they will know that they are my disciples by their love for one another. Lord, we desire to bear fruit unto your glory. we would ask for your power and for your strength, for your help. Have your strong hand upon us. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen.